Good afternoon. It's good to be here. I appreciate the time and opportunity to be able to get up here and preach a lesson from God's Word. This is actually, I've had the opportunity to preach this particular sermon two times already, and it's one of my favorites. It seems like all of them that I get to do become my favorites because they typically are speaking to myself more than anything. So hopefully they're things that that are beneficial to you as well, which I hope it will. Andrea, I think, has gotten sick of it by now. That's why she decided not to be here tonight. But no, she's actually home. She's not feeling well with her arthritis and all that, and this cold weather seems to be taking her toll on her. So, but she tells me she wanted to be here and listen, but we'll see how that comes to play. Actually, a lot of my sermons that I try to preach and try to put together typically come from, you know, a number of different things. Sometimes it's a little statement that I've come across, maybe online, just a little phrase, and it kind of sticks with you. And sometimes by a story you hear, whether it's fictional or non-fictional. But it's just something that really comes to be kind of impactful to you, and you can put a lot of application into your own life. And that's what this sermon, where it came from today. We studied not too long ago about Joshua, and that's kind of what it's based on. But I want to start off the sermon tonight describing this sermon, or I'm sorry, this story, I mean. The story goes, as a man walked an empty beach one cold morning, he began to see another figure far in the distance. Slowly, the two approached each other, and he could make out that it was a local native who kept leaning down, picking something off the ground, and throwing it into the water. Time and again, he hurled things into the ocean. As the distance between them continued to narrow, we could see, the man could see that the native was picking up a starfish that had been washed up from the beach, and one at a time he was throwing them back into the water. Puzzled at this, the man approached him and said, "What are you doing?" Well, the native answered and said, "I'm throwing these starfish back into the ocean. You see, it is low tide right now, and all these starfish have been washed up onto the shore. If I don't throw them back, they'll die up here with a lack of oxygen." The man replies, "But there must be thousands of starfish on this beach. You can't possibly get to all of them. There's just too many, and the same thing is probably happening up and down all the beaches up and down the coast. Can't you see that you're not going to make a difference?" Well, the local native smiled, picked up another starfish, and threw it back in the sea and replied, "I made a difference to that one." You know, as I said, I've told this story and read this story many times, but I've been able to do it in the sermon twice already, and I still get the tingles every time I hear that. And just that thought of the lesson that we can all take from this, the impact that this has on my life. That lesson of the power of one. Each of us is one person. That's all we can control is one person. Sometimes we may think we're limited, we're burdened with our own cares and responsibilities. We may feel that there is so much to be done and we have so little to give. We're usually short of everything in life, so we think, short of time, of money. But when we leave this shore, there will be many starfish, as the lesson or the story describes, stranded on the beach. And maybe we can't, as an individual, change the whole world. But the thought behind this is that each and every one of us can change one person's whole life. One at a time, we can and should make a difference. As I mentioned, this story has spoke volumes to me and how I think about how Jason, as an individual, can make a difference. What can I do? And what can each of us here today do, just being one person? So with this thought in mind, it also got me thinking of different individuals in the Bible that we read of over and over that didn't worry about the odds that were against them. Individuals like Noah, like Abraham, Moses, Paul. These are just to name a few. We can go on and see how this applies to all of them. But today I want us to consider, as I mentioned earlier, the life and the leadership of Joshua. Just like this story of making a difference, it's impressive to see the great influence Joshua had on his generation. We had read for us, and we learn in Joshua 24 and verse 31 that because of his leadership, it says Israel served the Lord all the days of Joshua. And all the days of the elders who outlived Joshua and had known all the works that the Lord did for Israel. You know, before we go any further, I want us to understand, and I don't want to dismiss the idea that God is due the credit in all of this. When we read over the life of Joshua, we see that God was a part and deserves the credit. We see where he parted the Jordan River. We see where he had the hand in the walls of the Jericho walls falling down and causing also the sun and the moon to stand still so Israel could defeat their enemies. The understanding that we take from this and what we already understand today is that God is in control. He deserves the credit. He's a part of everything. But what I want us to look at today is that Joshua must be given some credit in his life and what we've read here in Joshua 24. From the very beginning, the promise of God's support, the support that we're going to get from God, hinged upon Joshua, his faithful obedience to the word of God. This same obedience that Joshua had is what we need as well today. So we can, and now we can look to Joshua as this example and the reason behind him being a great leader. Again, what it takes for us as an individual making a difference. You know, when I was thinking about this, in the business world, many of us understand the difference in the many hierarchies of management. And over the years, we've had many that were just that. They were managers. They were just there. They were making sure everything, the processes went well. The people did what they were supposed to do. The material came out the way it was supposed to be. Or the, you know, everything, it just goes on and on as a manager. And they didn't really care about the people too much. But what is lacking, or what makes one more a successful manager, is one who is a leader. So I want us to understand that no matter what position you are in life, whether this we're talking about in business, whether we're talking about in our family, if we're talking about the church, we all can and need to be leaders like Joshua. Every generation needs good leadership. Good leadership in times of struggles, in trials, and doubts. We need good leadership. In our lesson today, we're going to consider more closely those qualities of Joshua that made him the great leader that he was. And so that we also can take from those qualities and know what we are expected to have within us today. We want to begin with Joshua, noticing that he was a man of humility. To be humble is to recognize our dependence on the Lord, and understand that we have a constant need for his support. Humility has been also said that it's an acknowledgement that our talents, our abilities, everything that we possess are gifts from God. It's known as not of weakness, not of being timid or being afraid, but it's an indication that we know where our true strength lies. We can be humble, and we can also be fearless. We can be humble, and we can also be one of courageous. We're not going to take the time to look right now, but back in Exodus 24, we see where Joshua, before he was the leader of the Israelite people, was willing to be that one of being courageous and to serve others. We can see where he served Moses in the wilderness for 40 years. He was known as the assistant of Moses, or some translation of that 13th verse in Exodus 24 says his servant. He understood his role. Joshua understood that he had a very important role in life as a servant to Moses. But he also understood that Moses had a role to play as well, and he respected that role. If Joshua was one day going to be as successful in the same role as Moses, he would need to mimic and follow the strengths of Moses, learn from Moses. We can also see through Scripture that he did just that. He learned, he applied to his life the things that Moses taught him, the example that Moses was to him. And at the end of the book of Joshua, he is referred to as the servant of the Lord. But even when Joshua became the leader, when he became the leader of the Israelites, he still understood his role was to serve one that was greater than himself. He was to serve the Lord, and we must have this same mind today. Joshua was a man of humility, and this trait is what would make him to be one of the many great leaders in the Bible. Joshua's humility is also demonstrated as we consider another quality that he had, and where Joshua was a man of faith. He was a man who trusted in God. If you will turn to Numbers, the 14th chapter, we're going to read a few verses back in Numbers 14. We're going to be starting in the 6th verse. Numbers 14 and verse 6. And Joshua, the son of Nun, and Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, who were among those who had spied out the land, tore their clothes and said to all the congregation of the people of Israel, "The land which we passed through to spy it out is exceedingly good land. If the Lord delights in us, he will bring us into this land and give it to us, a land that flows with milk and honey. Only do not rebel against the Lord, and do not fear the people of the land, for they are bread for us. Their protection is removed from them, and the Lord is with us. Do not fear them." We didn't take the time to read the entire passage, but we know, many of us here today know that 10 of the 12 spies demonstrated their lack of faith in God by what they reported, saying that we cannot take over the land. They said different things like the people are too strong, the cities cannot be conquered. 10 out of 12 spies came back with that report. But despite the peer pressure that he might have felt, Joshua, along with Caleb, demonstrated great faith in God by their report, saying in verse 9, "The Lord is with us. Do not fear them." Joshua put his full trust in God. He knew that what he would say would not be the most popular thing, especially with the odds against him. It could possibly even bring him to where he is being ridiculed for the things that he's going to say. But that wasn't going to stop him from stepping up and following God. Again, a lesson that he learned while serving Moses. We also see this in the fall of Jericho. The Lord, as we know, gave Joshua many specific instructions to follow in order to take the city in Joshua 6. Only full trust in God could have led Joshua to follow such instructions. He would do it by trusting the Lord to carry him through, and we can have that same confidence today. That same confidence to be pleasing to God in every situation if we obediently trust him. Follow all his specific instructions that he has given us through his word. We need to live with the understanding that whatever God has us to do is possible and that he is with us. Romans 8 and verse 31, "What shall we say then? If God be for us, who can be against us?" Great leaders today need to realize that they cannot put their faith in men, including themselves. They must look to God. We must look to God. Moving on, closely related to this is another quality I want us to consider of Joshua that made him a great leader, where he was a man of God. His success was directly related to his adherence to the Word of God. To ensure success, he knew that he had to fulfill all the law of Moses, or the law as given by Moses. If you will turn over to Joshua 1, I'd like to read a few verses there. Joshua 1, as it opens the book of Joshua, verses 7 through 9, says to only be strong and very courageous, being careful to do according to all the law that Moses, my servant, commanded you. Do not turn from it to the right hand or to the left, that you may have good success wherever you go. This book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate it day and night, so that you may be careful to do according to all that is written in it. For then you will make your way prosperous, and then you will have good success. I have not commanded you, or have I not commanded you, be strong and courageous. Do not be frightened, and do not be dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. It says to only be strong and very courageous. Be careful to do according to all the law. And to ensure this, that Joshua did this, he was told to meditate on this day and night. Meaning, know it inside and out. Don't just read the words. Don't just take the time and read word for word. But to understand and plant it into your heart. We see many times that Joshua was true to the word. Even at the end of his life, he was still encouraging them to heed God's word. We're also familiar with Romans 10:17 that gets used quite a bit, that faith cometh by hearing the word of God. So can we really expect a man of faith without being a man of God's word? For those of us who will lead, and we all need to lead, we need to take heed the charge God gave to Joshua to meditate on the word, the Bible, day and night. I also want to take a look at the New Testament of 1 Timothy, some good instructions that Paul gave to young Timothy. If you'll turn to 1 Timothy 4. Advice that he gave is things that we should cling to ourselves and think about each and every day. 1 Timothy 4, verses 13 through 16. He says in verse 13, until I come, devote yourself to the public reading of Scripture, to exhortation, to teaching. Do not neglect the gift you have, which was given you by prophecy when the council of elders laid their hands on you. Practice these things. Immerse yourselves in them so that all may see your progress. Keep a close watch on yourself and on the teaching. Persist in this, for by so doing you will both save yourself and your hearers. Paul gives the instruction to practice these things. Immerse yourselves in them, for by doing so you will both save yourself and those that hear you. What powerful advice we can receive. What advice we need to go back to and that we should give to others as well. Closely related to being a man of God's word, Joshua was a man of prayer. We can see him praying for his people throughout many different situations, praying in times of trials, praying in times of failures. We can understand that Joshua was a man who did not trust in his own strength. He looked to the Lord for help. You know, how many of us here today try to take matters into our own hands? I know I'm as guilty as the next, and I think I can fix anything. I can work my way through any situation. You know, I've got all the answers. But what ends up happening? We find ourselves getting weaker and weaker to the point that we just can't handle anymore. And then we choose to go to God. We choose to pray for help. I have waited too long. But once I find out that it's time and I should have gone to God in the first place, many times we feel this instant relief. Not that the problems have gone away, not that our situation has gotten any better, but you feel that relief that God is there to help. And I think, why didn't I do this in the first place? Joshua looked to God and prayed to God for help in every situation. If Joshua had not been a man of prayer, he may have not got the help from the Lord. When leaders today, when we need to be leaders, we need to understand that we need to be men and women of prayer. The last quality I want us to consider, and should be very clear at this point, is that Joshua was a man who put God first. What I found interesting when studying over Joshua is that even in the middle of military campaign, even though it would have given his enemy time to join forces, Joshua put God first and kept his commandments concerning the blessings and the curse. I'd like to look back in Joshua in chapter 8 and read this passage. Joshua 8, starting in verse 30. It says in verse 30, at the time Joshua built an altar to the Lord, the God of Israel, on Mount Ebal, just as Moses, the servant of the Lord, had commanded the people of Israel, as it is written in the book of the law of Moses, an altar of uncut stones, upon which no man has wielded an iron tool. And they offered on it burnt offerings to the Lord and sacrificed peace offerings. And there, in the presence of the people of Israel, he wrote on the stones a copy of the law of Moses, which he had written. And all Israel, sojourner as well as native born, with their elders and officers and their judges, stood on opposite sides of the ark before the Levitical priests, who carried the ark of the covenant of the Lord, half of them in front of Mount Gerizim and half of them in front of Mount Ebal. Just as Moses, the servant of the Lord, had commanded at the first to bless the people of Israel. And afterward he read all the words of the law, the blessings and the curse, according to all that was written in the book of the law. There was not a word of all that Moses commanded that Joshua did not read before all the assembly of Israel, and the women and the little children and the sojourners who lived among them. I find it interesting that, or I shouldn't say that, Joshua, let me say this way, Joshua made it a priority in his life, and those around him, to put God first. He takes the time to renew the covenant, as Moses commanded, and to read all the law that he had learned from Moses. He didn't care what others thought or would say or what the enemy was planning. He was serving the Lord. His strong stand, his leadership influenced an entire nation for good. Joshua put God first. A lesson we must learn from him as well. We must put God first. So I got to admit, as I was putting this lesson together, Joshua's leadership really just kind of fell into play. That really wasn't the moral of the lesson I wanted to put together. The original thought was from Joshua 24. If you guys would go ahead and turn there. It's a lesson that comes from the ending of the book of Joshua and the beginning of Judges. And we've just studied this not too long ago in the adult class, but I thought it was a very powerful lesson that we should look at. If you will, I'd like to read Joshua 24, starting in verse 14. We had some of this read already. I want us to listen close to these words. Start in verse 14 of Joshua 24. Now therefore, fear the Lord and serve him in sincerity and in faithfulness. Put away the gods that your father served beyond the river and in Egypt, and serve the Lord. And if it is evil in your eyes to serve the Lord, choose this day whom you will serve, whether the gods your father served in the region beyond the river or the gods of the Amorites in whose land you dwell. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Then the people answered, Far be it from us that we should forsake the Lord to serve other gods. For it is the Lord our God who brought us and our fathers up from the land of Egypt, out of the house of slavery, and who did these great signs in our sight, for served us in all the way that we went, and among all the people through whom we passed. And the Lord drove out before us the people, the Amorites, who lived in the land. Therefore we will also serve the Lord, for he is our God. But Joshua said to the people, You are not able to serve the Lord, for he is a holy God. He is a jealous God. He will not forget your transgressions or your sins. If you forsake the Lord and serve foreign gods, then he will turn and do you harm and consume you after having done you good. And the people said to Joshua, No, but we will serve the Lord. Then Joshua said to the people, You are witnesses against yourself that you have chosen the Lord to serve him. And they said, We are witnesses. He said, Then put away the foreign gods that are among you, and incline your heart to the Lord, the God of Israel. And the people said to Joshua, The Lord our God will we serve, and his voice will we obey. So Joshua made a covenant with the people that day, and put in place statutes and rules for them at Shechem. What I find interesting about this reading, we always go to the verse there that says, But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. But what sticks out in this passage, and what I find interesting, is that Joshua continues to stress the point of how the people needed to serve the Lord, even when they continually stated, We will serve the Lord. He says, Fear the Lord. Serve him in sincerity and in faithfulness. Put away the gods. You are not able to serve the Lord, for he is a holy God, a just or jealous God. And he tells them to incline your heart. And they come back to him each time saying, Far be it that we should forsake the Lord. No, but we will serve the Lord. The Lord our God will we serve, and his voice will we obey. They continually kept going to Joshua and saying, We will. We're going to serve the Lord. But Joshua knew Israel's past. He knew how they were wishy-washy in their obedience to God. So he continued distressing the point, making sure they understood he wasn't going to accept lip service, but rather demanded a wholehearted dedication to God as God deserves. And as we read earlier in Joshua 24 and verse 31, Israel served the Lord all the days of Joshua, and all of the elders who outlived Joshua and had known all the works that the Lord did for Israel. When we read this passage and we read everything that they said, and we get down to verse 31 and we think, how encouraging to see how strong and dedicated Israel was to God through the life of Joshua, the leadership of Joshua. If you will, turn over now to Judges 2. Judges 2 and verse 10. And it says, in verse 10, And all that generation also were gathered to their fathers. And there arose another generation after them who did not know the Lord, or the work that he had done for Israel. And the people of Israel did what was evil in the sight of the Lord. And they served Baals, and they abandoned the Lord, the God of their fathers, who brought them out of the land of Egypt. They went after other gods from among the gods of the people who were around them, and bowed down to them. And they provoked the Lord to anger. They abandoned the Lord and served Baals and Ashtaroth, so that the anger of the Lord was kindled against Israel, and he gave them over to plunderers, who plundered them. And he sold them into the hand of their surrounding enemies, so that they could no longer withstand their enemies. Wherever they marched out, the hand of the Lord was against them for harm, as the Lord had warned, and as the Lord had sworn to them, and they were in terrible distress. Wow, what changed? What changed from Joshua 24 now to Judges just a few chapters over in Judges 2. How could we go from a generation that was so dedicated to God to the next generation that knew not God? How did they forget so quickly all the things God had done for the Israelite nation? You know, when we study the Israelites, we tend to find ourselves getting angry at them. We can sit here and talk about it and come up with several assumptions of why they did not know the Lord. But what I want us to look at for the remainder of this lesson and understand is that we face the same dangers today. We have a generation that knows less and less about God, and we need to be doing something about it. Each of us here today needs to be doing something about it. This goes beyond just teaching the Word of God and reading the Scriptures continually. Now, these are necessary things. We need to be doing these things, but how do we get our children, how do we get our grandchildren to truly know God and have a faith of their own? Generation after generation, we have done good at teaching the principles of the Bible and what God has done for us. We read the Scriptures, but where I feel that we have failed, or where we are failing, is creating that bonding relationship with God. Dedicating our life to God because of all the extraordinary things that He has done for us. Are we as parents, as grandparents, being the example to our children, and not just to our children, but to all the young ones around us? Are we teaching them how to be dedicated to God, how to know God, how to understand the things that He has done for us? And are they seeing us living a devoted life to God? Or are they seeing us always bickering? Do they see us always hurting one another? Do they see us living selfishly, doing the things that we want, only helping out others if it fits into what we want? What are you and I doing to make sure that this generation sitting right in front of us here today, know God? Many times we, as parents, maybe even as grandparents, start to justify the things that they're doing or the things they want to do. And those things may not necessarily be sinful in themselves, but it directs them down the wrong path. To be honest, we confuse our children sometimes of what God truly wants us to do, what He expects from us. And then, as they get older, we're surprised. Our minds are blown when they turn out not knowing God. Will this generation today, will the next generation, will they live like Joshua, where he says, "We will serve the Lord," but he led a nation to serve the Lord? Or will they be like the generation in Judges 2 and verse 10 that knew not God? This lesson, again, has spoke volumes to me, and I hope that it has been beneficial for you as well. I hope there's something that we can take from this and understand that we need to be living more for God. We need to be a leader in our home, no matter who we are. We need to be a leader within our neighborhood. We need to be a leader within the congregation so that the next generation will know God. And as we bring this lesson to a close, I want to ask, what relationship do you have with the Father today? If you have not been baptized, then sadly you don't have a relationship. And you need to take those steps now to be part of His family. If you are a Christian and you have a relationship and your relationship is not what it should be, then take the opportunity now to make changes in your life, to have that closer bond with God and redevote yourself today. Dare to stand like Joshua. Dare to say the words, "As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord." Think on these things this afternoon as together we stand and sing.